Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. And I just want to say, Danke, Germany. Thank you for the win our Chiefs just came home with. All the way from overseas. That was such a fun game to watch. We have a lot to talk about this evening. We are just wrapped up week 9, headed into week 10 of the NFL season and the Chiefs bye week. And I don't know how we're going to survive without 2 weeks of Chiefs football, not to mention our next game is Monday Night Football. So not only are we going to have to survive like this weekend of football, we also have an entire weekend next week of football before we get to the Chiefs again. But that's going to be fun. But lots to talk about tonight. So I'm your host, Lexi.
I'm Chrissy.
And I'm Jeffy. Hey, y'all. So, I mean, there was a whole lot that happened in the NFL last week, starting with us going to Germany first. Well, I don't want to say team because the Dolphins are as well, right? But first game ever in Germany, and the Chiefs leave, and we are 1-0, which is amazing in Germany. And just so you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are the only team to have played in 4 different countries and are undefeated in that. So just a little fun fact. Very, very proud of this team, but a lot of things happened over week 9. So let's kind of get into it. We can talk about other people because we have a bye week. So,
yes.
Let's start off. So big things happening in Minnesota. Josh Dobbs, new quarterback, who actually was pretty freaking good last week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately went out with that torn Achilles. So that's really unfortunate for him. We wish him the best of luck in a healthy, speedy recovery. But the Vikings, oh my God.
Remember how everyone was like, oh, they're going to sell, they're going to trade all their players, and then they just kept winning, and now it's like, hey, they've got a real chance now. And I've always liked the Vikings. Like, they're kind of like the NFC team that I've always just rooted for, except for when we play them, obviously. Absolutely. But I love seeing them battle a ton of adversity. Let me rephrase. I love seeing how they keep finding ways to win while battling all this adversity. I don't like that they're having to battle so much adversity, but man, I love the Vikings. I really do. I love their coach. I love a lot of their players on the team, and I love that they don't seem to bow down when nothing is going their way. I don't know, a lot of respect for the Vikings.
Yeah, so. I feel the same way. I like the Vikings, and I feel the same way about the Lions, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I know we're actually playing that division this year, which is weird, but we did beat them, so I guess I can still root for them. but yeah, I like the Vikings. I really like Kirk Cousins and what he was doing this season. He was, like, set to have a really good season, so it's just a bummer that he had to go down with an Achilles injury. But Josh Dobbs, man, he is an actual rocket scientist, like an actual rocket scientist.
Isn't that crazy?
I love to see it.
So no wonder he's so good at what he does. Just smart. Like, he's really smart, but he just takes what he's given and, you know, takes the situation and makes the best of it. And it was cool to see him. I don't know who Minnesota, it was someone they had on their backup quarterbacks that started before him, and then he went down, and so Joshua Dobbs had to go in, and he didn't even know half of his receivers' names.
Yeah.
He didn't know him. Yeah.
And he went in there, did what he had to do, and ended up winning the game in like kind of a crazy fashion at the end there. So good job. It's hard not to root for him, you know, a guy like that. So
well, and they're only a couple of weeks away from getting Jettas back. And I mean, you can only speak to how great of a receiver Jordan Addison is. He has really stepped into his role as this wide receiver one with Jettas being out, and he has been doing great. I mean, even, you know, there were a couple plays there where he got injured and then went out the game and came back in the game and still was able to come in and make a big impact. So I fully believe that once they get both of these pieces fully operating, Josh Dobbs is really going to be able to come in here and to make an impact for that team. And it's only week 10. So, I mean, there's still a whole lot of football left. Like, I believe their schedule gets kind of easy in the back half of the season too. So they definitely have a chance to still try to maybe get a wild card spot. I don't know.
They're sitting in the wild card spot right now. They're like the 7th seed, which I'm like, that's kind of crazy.
But good for them.
Yeah.
It's been a lot, but I mean, that's super great. And can't be more proud of what that team is doing, like Chrissy said, overcoming adversity and still being able to go out there and get the win. So Let's kind of tap into a really good game this past week. A little bit of an emotional roller coaster, too, I guess you could say, since it was like the 1 year anniversary, technically, of DeMar Hamlin being back in Cincinnati since he went down. But that Bengals Bills game, it was good. It was really good. It was everything I expected it to be. The Bengals are back, right? I think the Bengals are back, and that's what they're saying. So, what are y'all thoughts about that? Because there's a whole lot to take away.
Well, I watched the game partially because I had just got home from the Sporting KC playoff game. So I was a little bit on cloud nine, didn't really care about anybody else. But I will say, you know, Joe Burrow looks like he can run around again. He's moving a lot better. He's making he's escaping when he needs to. And he's making the throws. Now, I do think Joe Burrow is playing much better. However, now there's a question of Ja'Marr Chase with this back injury that he's dealing with and if he's going to miss time or how much time. So
I want to just say something really quick on that, Chrissy. Him going, first of all, that was a great contested catch for me.
Yes.
Like, he gave his whole body up and went after it. And I'm not going to talk about Chiefs receivers, but that's what I want to see in a receiver. And it really sucks that you can see he went down on his tail first. Like, he hit his lower back before any of his other body hit the ground. So to see him, like, kind of still get up, shake it off, go to the sideline, get a little treatment, go back in the game and complete the game. I mean, he definitely has some heart. So I will give Ja'Marr Chase that.
Yeah. I had a lot of respect for how he came back and played through that. But he's kind of talking like he could miss some time. Yeah. I don't know if it's dramatics or if he's just feeling it really badly like today or, you know, whatnot. But we'll see if he missed time. Can Joe Burrow do what he needs to do without Ja'Marr Chase? Because those two have an undeniable connection. They had it in college. They've had it through the NFL. Can Joe Burrow rise above that? Can the other receivers, I know he's got a great receiving core. Can they step up with Ja'Marr Chase potentially being out? So that'll be interesting to see, but the Bengals definitely have found their stride. They're definitely back, but they still are in fourth in their division. So they still have a lot of work to do.
That freaking AFC North, man.
The Buffalo Bills also have a ton of injuries on their defense, which is actually kind of disgusting how many injuries they have.
Yeah.
It would be like being without half of our starting defense, which I can't really even imagine. So for them to actually keep it kind of a game for most of the game was pretty impressive to me. I feel for Bills fans because I know that's rough and they just seem to have some really bad injury luck on that team, unfortunately. But even through that, I do think the Bengals look like they're kind of hitting their stride again. We'll see, because they do have, I mean, I would say all three of our teams kind of have a tough schedule for the remaining portion of the season.
For sure. So the AFC
The AFC is a gauntlet, and the Bengals already had their bye week. So they have a lot of football to play. And with Ja'Marr Chase, I don't know if I'm buying it too much. I mean, it was a hard hit that he took, but you know, it's like Tua said that about Tyreek like two weeks ago.
Right.
Oh, he might be out for some time. We'll have to.
It's like, how much of this is a smokescreen versus
Tyreek was ready the next day. So I'm like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It was a good game overall. It definitely kind of stalled in the second half, but I think that's what we've kind of seen in a lot of games this year. Our games kind of stalling in the second half because both teams kind of figure each other out.
So yeah, I will say that.
I specifically
remember saying these defenses are terrible. I remember in the first half of that game, I said both of their defenses look awful in this game. So you can kind of tell them when you make those halftime adjustments. I wanted to kind of speak to what Chrissy said about the receiving core. Every single one of their receivers had at least 25 yards minimum. And that's 1, 2, 3. That's 7 receivers had at least a minimum of 25 yards. So even if Ja'Marr Chase had to miss, T. Higgins had a day. He had a field day in this game on Sunday. I can't remember all my days. Sunday.
Yeah.
He had a field day on Sunday. And I mean, the Bengals really can't let up going into this week.
They don't have room to make a mistake.
Right. So. They go Texans this week, then to the Ravens, I'm sorry, then the Steelers, then the Jags, then the Colts, then the Vikings, and Jets should be back by then. I mean, the Bengals definitely have a very audacious schedule that's coming up, but I also think that they are more than equipped to figure it out. If we can go out there and figure it out with our guys, they can definitely go out there and figure it out with their guys too. The Bills, yeah. Oh, Buffalo. The only thing I want to say is, yes, their defense is very depleted, but I think Von Miller is very much overpaid now. That very last play of the game where he missed that receiver and then they got that first down to steal the game, I was like, oh, Von Miller, that is something you should have. Everybody, you should have it. So yeah. Seeing him have that wide open miss was just like, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh, my God.
Do we think Von Miller has lost the step a little bit?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Two ACLs,
yeah.
He definitely has, but he got paid. So, I mean, whatever.
Good for them. Good for Buffalo. Thanks for paying him.
All right, let's go ahead and get into Chargers Jet. I did not watch this game.
I didn't watch it.
So, no, I don't really have much.
Okay, I didn't watch.
Congrats to the Chargers.
Yeah, I watched women's college basketball.
Did you guys see the Chargers celebration after?
Yeah. Okay, like I understand. Let me talk about that for a second, because I understand Raiders being the way the Raiders are right now, because they have been dealing with so much crap. Their GM getting fired, their coach getting fired, just all of that, right? New quarterback. I get it. Okay, that one I felt. But Chargers, calm yourselves down. You beat the Jets. Like, I get it. We struggled, but guess what? This, like, why are you acting like you won the Super Bowl? Calm yourselves down. Act like you've won before.
Tell you. So I posted a thing on Twitter about the Chargers doing their celebration and the Raiders doing their celebration and how the AFC West has won their midseason Super Bowls.
Oh my God.
And I have never seen so many sensitive Chargers fans in my entire life.
Well, that's because all six of them found your tweet. So
they all found my tweet. Let me tell you, some of the men on this app are so
sensitive.
Wow. I mean, the stuff I was being called on Twitter was, I'm not even going to say it here, but let's just say I was told to go back to the kitchen because I said they shouldn't be celebrating like it's a Super Bowl win. So,
well, I mean, they shouldn't be celebrating like it's a Super Bowl.
Sorry, I'm just having a little fun with our division rivals. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know it was a crime to poke fun at them anymore.
Stop thinking it up. Maybe be good. Maybe beat somebody that's relevant. Maybe win the AFC West once in a while. No.
And you know what? Of course, Zach Wilson figures out how to put on the performance of a lifetime against our defense a few weeks ago. I'm like, why?
I even said he will never play another game like that this whole season. Like, that was it.
Doesn't everybody do that? Doesn't everybody play their best game against the Chiefs?
But we're not allowed to say that, so.
But our players said it. So if Trevor Duffy could come out after one season and being like, oh, everybody plays this like we're their Super Bowl, well, I'm glad somebody
got it. They're realizing that, yeah.
Yeah. I will say the Bengals fans did this really cool thing where they striped the stadium. That looked really cool. So props to you guys for, like, doing that and figuring that out. Yeah, Jeremy's talking about it here, like, that looked really cool. Like, sleep pop, that was really, really cool. Like, you guys pulled that off really well.
No, I agree. I mean, because I would be like, so what shirt do you want me to put on?
Right.
It's not happening.
Yeah. And, like, what happens if that's not, like, let's say, like, you have to wear the exact same shirt to every single game and blah, 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 blah. What if, like, you had to wear a different shirt that didn't match the stripe thing? Like, do you put a shirt on over it and then, like,
I think
superstition thing.
I think I heard that they gave shirts out.
They probably did. So they probably had shirts laying on like all the seats.
I think that's what happened.
That makes sense.
They didn't expect, because usually the Bengals franchise is so cheap.
I mean, they got money now, baby. They get a new indoor stadium practice facility.
Making moves over there. Good job, Bengals.
Well, they should be poor because they just paid Joe Burrow and Orlando Brown Jr., but that's a whole nother conversation. So, but no, I do agree. I think those celebrations were hilarious. We can just go ahead and get into the Giants because that's a great segue.
And then also I was told that the Chargers were catching up to us now because they're 4-4.
Oh, so,
that okay. makes no just sense.
Just beware.
Okay. I'm going to get you all in a room because you'll fit in one room. We're going to have a talk.
Okay. If both of those teams consolidated, like, come on. If the Chargers and the Raiders consolidated as one team, they would be decent. They would be good.
They would.
They should consolidate because what's happening?
They should consolidate.
They should just join forces. Yeah.
There's a whole lot happening in Oakland. Wow. There's a whole bunch happening in Las Vegas right now with the Raiders. Like you said, there is a lot of changes going on from top to bottom in that organization. But I said this a few weeks ago, and people laughed at me, but the Raiders schedule is like not that tough going out. They could get a wild card. They could get a wild card in the AFC. Now, the only thing that would be holding them back is the AFC is really freaking good. So there's going to be a lot of teams who have really good records. But when we get down to week 15, 16, 17, 18, if they don't like lose a few of these next couple of games just by being the Raiders,
I know.
Don't be surprised.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to like the AFC North, and we'll get into that later in our show. But
yeah,
who knows? I mean, Aiden O'Connell could be that guy, right?
He could be that guy. Lord in heaven. Let's go ahead and get into our lovely, lovely, lovely our week. Well, I guess not our week. Last week. Let's talk about this Germany game. There was so much anticipation for this game, literally. Since last season, right? Everybody's so, so excited about the Chiefs going to Germany. And then it was, oh my God, the Chiefs are playing the Dolphins in Germany. And let's just be very, very transparent. It was a home game. Like, it wasn't goal end zone. There were so many Chiefs fans in that stadium. Andy Reid said something on one of his press conferences, and he was like, we won that game because of the fans. The fans were outstanding. They were loud and they were proud.
I'm so proud of our Germany fans. I'm so proud of everyone that showed up from all over the world in that game. Like, thank you for repping us so proudly, so well.
Yeah, like the home of the Chiefs was there, and you heard the tomahawk chop, and the oh my gosh, I was like, oh my God, they did everything.
So, okay, there's a lot of things I want to cover in this segment. So first, let's get into the drama of Dolphins left on Tuesday, Chiefs left on Thursday. That was a lot of controversy. That was a big topic. What are your immediate thoughts about like that before we kind of get into like offense, defense, player of the game, all of that good stuff?
So I'll say, I know Bobby Stroop, he put some
statistics.
Research out.
Yeah, some research.
I was like, what's the word? But when he put all that out, I thought it was interesting that they're like, you either leave at this time beforehand or you leave this time beforehand. And I know a lot of the Chiefs players tried to like stay up and get their sleep schedule like accustomed to what they were going to be dealing with before they even left for Germany. I know Justin Reed was talking about that quite a bit. And I think that they came out super energized. I think what's really good about not going when they did is they don't have to deal with as much distractions. They're getting their normal practices in at their normal facility. They're not sleeping in a different bed that's not their own. They're not dealing with so much media craziness that's going on that whole week, kind of like that Super Bowl that gets super exhausting.
Yeah.
And I know they were talking about Dolphins players who are still struggling to catch up even, you know, right prior to game day. So I think what they did was really smart. And I think it showed they had a lot of energy in that first half. And I think what they did worked great. That's how it's always worked for Andy Reid. He's always done it that way. And he's undefeated in different countries. So I think he knows what he's doing. I think there's a lot of research that goes into it. So why question it, right?
I will say, like, at first I was a little bit nervous because I was just like, wait, right now it's trending that the team that gets there later ends up losing. because that is how it was going for those first few international games this season. Yeah. However, then I thought about it and I was like, you know what? Andy Reid has done this multiple times. Add to that stat, Chiefs are the only NFL team to now have a win in four different countries, which is incredible. So amazing to them on that. But aside from that, it was like either you're there, what, 6-7 days in advance and you're adjusting to that.
That's too schedule. Many days for me.
Or in either that or you're there like a day or two before like we did and you almost don't even acknowledge it. Like they almost don't even acknowledge that in their body that they're in that sleep schedule.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of going off what they feel and they're not like adapting to that time zone. And that's exactly what like the research Bobby did. And I mean, all of them, like they all know what's best. I'm not going to question like some of the best trainers and staff in the world. So it ended up working out well. I actually don't think either team looked tired though. Like I wouldn't say either team had the advantage in that sense because it kind of seemed like our team adjusted and their team adjusted to how we need. And both teams had a ton of energy. So I feel like it's definitely interesting. I feel like if we would have left like Tuesday or Wednesday, that's where you get in that weird zone.
Well, yeah. Plus we had an away game and the Dolphins had a home game. So we still had to travel to get back home and all of that. So I think letting the guys. And I think that letting the guys rest, recover, be with their families more, I think that's really beneficial. And, you know, like you said, not even really acknowledging the time change. Because I don't know about you guys. I've gone overseas. And really, it was like that third day was when you're just like, oh, my God, like, I am so tired. I feel like I haven't slept. I haven't. You're just kind of feeling like. Yeah. And so this way, they're not even really acknowledging that. And I think that they looked great.
I will say this, I'm always going to trust Andy Reid. And I will say, like, I was kind of hesitant at first. So I was like, dang, we're leaving on Thursday. So I agree there. But I will say, them boys were on that field before the pregame. And they were just like,
they were fine.
So much excitement at Arrowhead. Like, they were like, I don't know if it was the IV or the vitamins or what. And I know that they focus so much on hydration on that flight too, not being dehydrated and making sure they're getting the vitamins and the things that they need. Period.
In Frankfurt, the USA. Yep. All those kinds of
I will say they have just a level of energy that I was not expecting to see. And just to see like that clip of Travis Kelce just running around and hyping up the crowd, like you could tell they loved every second of that. And I'll also say, I think like I was having a conversation with Lexi last week about this, and I was just like, I'm kind of glad that like we're going later because it feels like the adrenaline and the excitement is still at a high versus being there Monday or Tuesday. And it's like, all right, we've been here for a few days. We've done nothing but media. We've went to the restaurants. We've done the sightseeing. Right. And our guys were just kind of like, well, what's in the city? Like, do we get to experience
it? We're so excited.
Andy Reid is like, this is a business trip. And he kept strictly to that. And I think that will be the reason why I say I love Coach Reid, because he keeps them in sync, whether it's in Germany, whether it's in Mexico, whether it's at the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter where it is. He keeps them on a regular schedule. He's like a newborn mother. Like, I don't get it. He's so good. He is.
Newborn mother.
These are his children.
Can you imagine
being on a plane for 8 to 9 hours with Jerick McKinnon, Chris Jones? Like, what? Can you imagine Travis Kelce in one spot for 8 hours with these dudes who are nuts? I would go crazy.
I think Andy Reid, he knows these guys so well, and he knows like how to rally them and how to like how to contain them. But I will say, I think this is where this type of game comes down to experience. And I didn't want to say this earlier because I was like, I don't want to jinx any. I'm so stupid.
I was thinking the same thing, so I'm glad you're saying that.
Okay, but I was like thinking, I'm like, this is where that experience comes in, and this is where the big dogs show up, the smaller dogs, and the fact that Chiefs are made for big moments like this our young team, they are one of the youngest in the NFL. They played in the Super Bowl last year, almost all of them, and they won. And they saw what that media week was like and how hectic that was. And the Dolphins, I mean, Tyreek Hill has been through it. But other than that, I don't really think anyone on their team has been through anything like that. Maybe Teron Armstead a little bit. But, like, other than that, I mean, Tua hasn't been through that. Their wide receiver core, aside from Tyreek, hasn't been through that. Their coach, who, like, thinks he's, like, gangster G best.
No, he went
mid-game. He went from the cool shade to the let me put my glasses on so I can see.
I'm sorry. What in the heck is with this guy?
It's giving Miami. It's giving Florida. And then they wore their all whites because, you know, in Florida, all white is their thing. The boat parties, the day parties, the okay, whatever. But, like, yeah. Y'all showed who y'all really are.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get into this offense. Because I know we have a lot to talk about the defense. So let's just start with the offense.
We will get there with the defense.
We're going to get there. We have a lot to talk about the defense. Trust me. But this offense, so first play of the drive. Boys come out.
I was like, this is my team. This is who
I was like, look at our boys.
I was like, oh, my. Who is this?
Oh,
beautiful.
They came out right 17-0 first half. The Miami Dolphins scored 0 points in the first half.
21-0 the first half. Those were the only points we got though, but
anyway,
we digress.
Positive, Lexi. Positivity, Lexi.
Right, not too much. But no, so the offense, they came out and they were firing Isaiah Pacheco. Praise God. He finally was able to get the ball into run, and we can clearly see what happens when he has the ball on this offense. So, what are y'all thoughts about the offense? They came out hot, then they stalled. So let's kind of get into it. What are your thoughts about the offense? How do you think about Patrick? What do you think about Travis, the receivers, the O-line? There was a lot happening in this game.
Our offense confuses me.
Absolutely.
To say the least.
What I'm super confused about is in the first half, like you said, like our offense was on fire. Rashee Rice had an amazing catch and yards after catch. And he had two wonderful receptions in the first half, right? That really great play where he stretched his whole body out plus his touchdown, right? Yes. And then Sky Moore had some good catches. And Justin Watson had the touchdown they called back. McCarron had a touchdown.
Noah Gray
was looking great. So everyone's looking awesome, right? And I understand Kelce was kind of held in check the whole game, right? That's what teams are going to try to do.
Isn't he always?
But like here's why I'm so confused. We do all that in the first half. And then the second half comes out. And it's like we just shut down what we're doing. I don't know if this is on purpose. I don't know if something just is adjusted at halftime by the other team's defense to make our offense look like they have no idea what they're doing out there. But something is just not computing in the second half. This is the second game in a row where our offense has not scored a point in the second half.
Correct.
Two games in a row against defenses that are apparently not super great. So I'm just a little confused, especially when we have basically the same wide receivers as last season with the addition of Rashee Rice and, you know, taking Juju away, but they're kind of in that same thing. Like we have the same wide receiver core pretty much.
Yes.
So what I don't understand is why they look so inept at the game in the second half. They're not getting catches. They're not getting targeted. Rashee Rice having two targets in a game is criminal.
So
criminal.
I kind of want to just go down before Lexi goes. Let's talk about the receivers.
I'm fired up a little bit. Sorry.
Not one receiver had a catch more than three. So they either had three or they even had two. So when we say we spread the ball out very, very, very evenly, and this is between 1, 2, 3. This is between 9 receivers, including your tight ends. 3. Receptions,
that's a problem.
Right? And no one had more than 35 yards. So out of those 9 people, no one had more than 35 yards.
This is also one of Mahomes' worst passing games I think he's ever had.
Yep, he went 20 for 30 at 185.
What, like for him to be held under
24 rushing yards. Pat did run the ball 6 times and he had 24 rushing yards.
His rushing yards are also like his scramble yards are up this season by quite a few. Like a good like what? I don't know, 10 yards a game or something.
Weren't like two of those runs taken away too? By penalties.
Yes, by penalties. Is it play calling? Is it the receivers? Because the tight ends are balling.
We just look like a totally different team in the second half. We're not rushing the ball. We look like we're not like we can't hit a wide receiver. We're throwing the ball away a lot. Pat's taking sacks I wouldn't think he would normally take.
Yeah.
So it's just like there to me, there like has to be a reason this is happening. And I'm trying to get into my conspiracy theory mind that's saying like maybe Andy sees we're up this much. He doesn't want to give anything else away. But it's also like Andy, like,
get a girl.
I think.
Like, what's going on, man? Yeah. Play calls, that 3rd-and-1 play call, you guys, I about lost my freaking ball to Isaiah Pacheco, who carried the entire Dolphins offense with our O-line.
Literally.
Had his face.
He could have ran.
Something is not there.
I feel like Andy is such a troll because even in his post-game press conference, he's like, well – if I would have run it then and we didn't make it, then you guys would ask why I didn't catch it.
I heard him and I was like, excuse me, Andrew. Excuse me.
Fix your tone.
Andrew Walter Reed.
Yeah, Andrew Walter.
And you might be jet lagged. Okay? Fix your tone. But then I think that's like another thing for me because I feel like Patrick used to make adjustments at the line. I feel like I know this might be the play call, but maybe we should do this. So this also – I think there's a lot of things that can come from this because I think this also has a lot to do with the receivers too. So I was just having a conversation in one of the Chiefs Twitter spaces. Shout out to the family. I know a lot of y'all are in here listening to us now, but we were just having a conversation about this. Is it that the receivers are trying to run the exact route that is on the piece of paper that the coach is telling them to run and they don't know how to make in-game adjustments? They don't know. They don't have the instincts to do something different? Or is it Pat just like, Pat used to scrambling. Pat used to throwing the ball to wherever. You see a free man, that's what you throw the ball. That's why him and Travis have the connection that they have. And our receivers don't know how to do that. You're running the route, and just because the route is not there, you got to scramble and be available. If Patrick can scramble, you just need to be available so he can throw the ball to you. Just find open space. And our receivers don't understand that. Like, I'm convinced they don't know how to do that. And that is kind of what is – making this offense look so bad. They don't know how to adjust. So
I just don't understand why it looks so different in the first half versus the second half. To me, that can't all be defensive adjustments. There's no way.
I don't understand either. And like rewatching it, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm like, because some of them
play calling.
That's what I've been saying is the play calling.
If you rewatch, right, and it's like the play calling, and if you rewatch on like certain downs where we had like LaMichael Pirine run
on 2nd and 10.
Like it just
what are we doing?
So
sorry, I apparently have a lot of pent up energy.
If you're gonna win the ball, why are you not giving it to Isaiah Pacheco on 2nd and 10?
Right.
Now, granted, Isaiah was only averaging 4 yards a carry. I'm telling you now, I'm trusting Isaiah Pacheco over LaMichael Pirine.
Yeah, no offense to LaMichael Pirine, but he's our 4th string running back. You don't give him the ball on 2nd and 10.
You just got elevated.
And I really do think, and maybe this is my conspiracy mind, but I really do think Andy Reid sees that we're up 21-0 at half and gets like, okay.
That's the only thing that makes sense.
Let me try this. Let's see what works. Yes, even though it's against the Dolphins. And I don't know if that's us being in our, I hate that it's making me question myself and my thinking on this.
Right.
Like, are you doing this? Are you messing with us or? Yes.
So do you think that it's because maybe the receivers don't understand the playbook? So
no.
The play calling has to be limited because we can't open up the playbook fully because they're not going to run it correctly.
But no, because they were with us last year. All but Rashi Rice were on this team last year.
I mean, but some of them, Sky Moore struggled last year. KT struggled last year. He didn't have a lot of snaps last year.
He actually did until he was hurt.
Right. And then when he did, but when he did, he was still very limited through that playoff run.
Yeah, but what about
last season?
MPS and, you know, MPS Justin
needs to be better. Agree.
And I think I just don't. It doesn't make sense to me. Like our offense. They don't make sense. Like I can't, when we see these glimpses where they just look like they could take out any offense or any defense they wanted, they could go up against the bet. They could go up against our own defense. I'll put it out there. And they would probably just shred them to pieces by some of the glimpses we've seen. And then we convert into this like super conservative, super horrific play calling offense that makes no sense. We're the fans. We are fans, right? We are not football players. We are not coaches. We are fans. And even we can say, well, this is a stupid play call. Why did we do this? Why did we do this? So it blows my mind that people who is apparently deep, one of the best offensive minds in the history of the NFL sees this and can't figure out what's wrong, because the fans can be like, okay, well, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. Andy Reid has to know this stuff. Go ahead, Jody. I'm told you, I'm fired up.
You think the difference is in, so now I'm really going to get controversial.
Uh-oh.
Do you think that's the biggest difference between EB and Matt Nagy? If EB hears coach calling something and he's like, coach, I don't know. EB will always be a voice. He will always say, I don't agree with this and why. Yes. Matt Nagy is not going to do that. That is not.
He's a brown noser.
Thank you. He's not going to do that. He's not going to put his foot down. He's not going to say how he feels. He's not going to challenge Andy or the wide receivers coach or anybody
else. Or Patrick, yeah.
He's going to go with the flow versus EB would. He would say, get your head out your ass and this is what we need. Sorry. Get your head out your butt and this is what we need to do differently. And Matt Nagy's not doing that. And yes, yeah. Andy Reid is the best offensive mind out there. But that is also why I think him and EB worked well together, because if they were watching, they could see something and collectively come up with something. And maybe Andy may make his tweaks to it. But I don't think Matt Nagy is giving this participation at all.
Well, I still do think that Andy Reid is like the best offensive play caller out there. But I do think maybe he's being figured out a little bit. Like maybe he's like trying these things and he's like, okay, they're catching on to me on this. I can't get away with this. Oh, they're expecting me to do this on this down. And now I need to try this. And I feel like maybe he's being figured out a little bit. And I still do think he's saving some things, because like we saw in the first half, when they look good on those drives, they look
unstoppable.
95 yards for a touchdown on one of those drives. I mean, when they look like they're in sync, they are in sync. And so it's just really frustrating to watch. Like we saw Kadarius Toney get active on one snap in that first
drive. He looked great.
Or second, whatever drive it was in the first half. Fantastic. He was dragging defenders around. Like, I mean,
I don't think he got another target after that.
But when you play him like an actual wide receiver, not just a trick guy, then he's good. Like,
one catch, 18 yards.
And then, then you go away from him the rest of the game. And that's actually what ends up like pissing off these wide receivers, is like, if Kadarius Toney feels like he's being used one play, I mean, yeah, he got a ring with us and I'm sure he's happy about that. But like, if you're feeling like you're not being used properly as a wide receiver, that's going to be really frustrating.
Yeah, that's why this doesn't make sense to me. You look at like the targets in the first half, those guys that are making the plays in the first half aren't getting targeted in the second half. Doesn't make sense.
Here's my next question for y'all. And we actually talked about this on an episode maybe 4 weeks ago. It was a minute ago. Do we have too many receivers?
Yes. Too many that are taking snaps. I understand that part.
We said that last time too. A few weeks ago, we all agreed that we have too many receivers, but we thought
we need to consolidate
the adjustment, right? And we're still not seeing it.
Yeah, we need to make the adjustment. I honestly think like Justin Watson, he is obviously, he's doing a great job out there. Keep giving him the ball. Rashee Rice, he has 4 touchdowns this season. 4 touchdowns as a rookie. Keep giving him dang ball.
I can't decide who I would eliminate. That's the problem.
I can. MBS.
Scott MBS isn't doing squat. He's dropping the ball.
I'm not doing anything either. This is the first game. I literally tweeted and said, welcome to the 2023-2024 season, Sky Moore, on Sunday.
The problem is Sky was a second-round pick last season, so he's not going anywhere yet.
Correct.
MBS is making $11 million this season. So happy about that. wish he would show up a little bit more, but yeah. I don't think he's going anywhere either. And then I think our other guys are better. So it's like, I can kind of see where our coaching, like our Brett Veach, they're probably struggling in figuring out who you can even get rid of at this point. Where
I can tell you right now.
You're making $11 million and you only had three targets. And you
I can tell you right now. You forget who's being paid what. You forget what round draft pick they are. And you go with the guys who are making a difference. And right now, that is Kelsey, Noah Gray, Rashi Rice, and Justin Watson. Absolutely. Not every team goes to 12 wide receivers and whatnot every game. Some teams go to two or three, and they use their tight ends. And that's what they go with. The Chiefs have got to start going to the guys that are making the plays and making the consistent differences. Because when we keep looking like we're trying to figure out what wide receivers we really want to go with in the playoffs, it's driving me crazy. I know it's driving everyone else crazy. Go with the guys who are making the plays consistently.
Well,
that's those guys.
That's the biggest difference between this season and last season. Last season, we were able to spread the ball to all these dudes.
And at this point, we figured it out.
They can catch. Our dudes last year can catch the ball. They can catch the ball.
And at this point in the year, it made sense last season to why we were spreading it out. But you had, your consistent people that were making plays and –
Correct.
It's not happening. And like you said, Rashi Rice is probably our most consistent guy on the wide receiver core, aside from maybe Justin Watson.
Yeah, and his yards after catch are amazing.
Absolutely. But how do you go away from both of them in the second half? I didn't see them.
I haven't had a chance to go back and watch the game yet just because my life has been chaos. So I don't know. Were they getting separation? Did the Dolphins adjust because they seen that these are the dudes they're going to that are making this difference? Did they adjust? Were they starting to be double teamed? Were they starting to bring the safeties down on them? What does that look like? I haven't went back and actually watched without.
I did rewatch it. And I will say it was in the second half, it never felt like we even got into a rhythm on a few first downs. There were some really good moments with Isaiah Pacheco. And that was about it. There was never
McKinnon. We're not.
Where the heck was McKinnon?
Well, but there in the second half, there was never a flow. It was never it would be Mahomes would take a weird sack, or he would get really pressured and just throw the ball away on third down, or
It was weird.
Andy, for whatever reason, does not want to go for it on fourth down this season. Fourth and short, and I'm like, he's just feeding.
Well, but we're not going for fourth and short. We're not going for fourth and short because we can't convert third and short.
No. That's a problem.
That's a huge problem.
You have the best quarterback in the league. Figure it out.
And I know that Andy does not want to quarterback sneak, but God bless.
You know, at some point, I wonder if at some point, if Andy calls this play for third and short, and it's stupid, we all know it's stupid. Let's be real. They've almost always been stupid this season.
Every single one.
Where Pat is just going to go into the huddle and be like, yeah, we're not doing that. We're doing this. We're just going to hand the ball off, or I'm going to rush it and see what happens. And Andy can get mad. But if we convert that first down, maybe it'll open Andy's eyes a little bit.
But have you felt like Pat has been – I have not seen that Patrick Mahomes this season.
No.
So I don't know what that is. I'm used to him being a rebel and being like, yeah, we're going to do this.
By this point in the season, I'm used to seeing a few career highlights for Patrick Mahomes. I don't feel like we have one. Am I crazy for saying that?
If we have one, I'm not thinking of anything crazy.
You mean
I know we had that one run he had, but.
Last season, we had that really cool play against the
Buccaneers. Or something.
Remember the cool play against the Buccaneers last season where he ran around every defender and then somehow found Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the end zone.
He did have a good scramble. Not this
had that really cool play.
He was converted a third and 15 or a third and 17 recently.
Yeah.
But I will say,
it's not the usual really overly impressive stuff that we're used to seeing with him.
He's walking around on eggshells out there.
Something's a little off, and I just don't know. And if I trust anyone to figure it out, it will be them.
And after every game, he's like, we'll get this offense figured out. Don't worry.
Yeah,
and
it's there's just something.
The defense is saving our asses right now.
And they know
maybe that's part of it. If you look at these games, the defense nails it. the first half. They are shutting people down. So I think Andy does get a little conservative when that happens. He's like, well, if our defense is playing this well, why open the playbook up? If we can squeak this out without doing anything crazy, we're going to do that. And that's what we've been doing.
We're going to throw the ball 14 yards on 31 because I know our defense is going to get us the ball back.
When, right.
Like, that is the worst. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like, Andy Reid is a GOAT. Okay. I don't know what is happening in this season. Like, this is definitely, and it's week what, 10? I got to go back and listen to season one, week 10.
That's only eight more weeks left.
What our conversations were then.
Yeah. Right? We should do that.
I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to go listen to season one, week 10 to see what our thoughts were then.
Go back to Kingdom Queens.
This is, yeah, I don't know.
That's a good idea.
Do a listening party.
Group and then tweet about it. Live tweet.
I will say,
struggle last season.
We absolutely did.
Yeah. One fun stat for the game, like LeBron stat, as you would say, is Travis Kelce's career receiving yards. He officially passed Tony Gonzalez for all time by 1 yard.
By 1 yard.
That's bliss.
1,941 yards. And
he only had 14. So, thank God. He only had 14 yards. So
he only had 14 yards, but he beat it. So good job.
Let's get into the defense. We've kind of talked leaps and valleys about this offense, right? God bless.
Yes.
Let's talk about the defense. There was so much good that came out of every single player on this defense this past week.
I'm so proud of our defense.
I just love
it. Every week I'm like, there's no way they can be better than what the heck they were last week. And they are clearly shutting me up.
Killing it, yeah.
What are just some of y'all immediate thoughts about the defense? Because once again, they saved our butt and they got us the win again.
Well, I think we all can agree that the play of the game was the McDuffie forced fumble on Tyreek, which, in case people don't know, I know I've tweeted about it. I'm sure other people have as well. When we traded Tyreek to Miami, we did receive a number one draft pick back. That number one draft pick was used to draft Trent McDuffie, who stripped the ball from him, forced another fumble, which he is a master of forcing fumbles this season. And then Mike Edwards, being a crazy, amazing, underrated offseason signing, gets the ball, realizes that he's not going to be able to go, pitches it back to Brian Cook, then immediately turns and makes this amazing block on Tyreek. So that Brian Cook can high knees it all the way to the end zone.
It was literally a team effort. It was a team effort. Yeah.
So we also got a second round pick from them. So we not only got Trent McDuffie, we also got Brian Cook.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's just like
two guys that made, or not excluding Mike Edwards, but these two guys that made this play, we got out of a trade for Tyreek.
Thank you for the Chiefs.
And I think it's really, really, really important to talk about Justin Reed's performance over these last few weeks because it is really elevated and skyrocketed to a level that a lot of Chiefs fans are like, this dude ain't it, right? But these last 2-3 weeks, he has really kind of kicked it in the
high. He's had a heck of a season. I would say, let's see, it's week 10. We played with 9 games. I'd say that the last 8 games, because everybody was figuring out the first game. It's the first game of the season. I'd say week 2 through week 9, Justin Reed has been a baller. He has been making tackles, making plays. I mean, golly. We felt when we had Tyrann Mathieu? I like prime Tyrann Mathieu. I feel like that's what we got Justin Reed right now. He is just, he's fun to watch.
I also think that has a lot to do with the people around him.
Yes.
Because the people around him are playing at such a high level.
Yes.
It's making his job easier. Does that make sense? He doesn't have to go out and do so many things that Tyrann Mathieu was struggling to do in the end of his career.
Yeah.
Dudes are on their assignment and they are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, and they're even giving more. Like, you already just spoke about that pick six. There was literally, like, that play involved 3 people having awareness and making adjustments and being able to just quickly be on the ball. Like, our receivers don't even catch the ball.
I know. It was like, can Brian Cook play wide receiver?
Please.
Right.
Can he? Has he done that before? Because, wow.
Yeah, I just
hi Yara.
Hi, Yara. Just phenomenal overall by our entire defense. Holding the number one high-powered offense to 14 points is absolutely surreal. They have so much speed on their offense. It's kind of insane. Yeah. So for our guys to keep up with that, Brian Cook, I think you'll probably hit on this, Jody, but he hit like the highest mile per hour run that entire game. That was our guy, not theirs, on this offense. So
man, I don't know.
He's had two big weeks in a row, you know, like
he's just been awesome along with Justin Reed. And then, like you said, right. Mike Edwards being this crazy great addition, not to mention like our our defense is clicking so well overall. The one guy I want to call out is Chris Jones for that silly little play he had to have.
We potentially could have held them to 7 to 10 points.
Yeah.
Had Chris not done that. So I have a lot of choice words that I want to use because you're supposed to be a leader of the defense, and he does this every season
where he
makes a boneheaded emotional play
every year
and penalty. And he does it at the worst possible time.
Yeah.
And I love Chris Jones. I'm happy he is still a Chief. But golly, things like that piss me off because there is no need. Yes, you're being held. You're being held a lot because of the caliber of player you are. Do you really think after the play, like you're not going to get noticed for going and just shoving a guy to the ground for no reason? Come on, Chris.
Especially on 3rd and 26.
I know.
My only thing is, yes, Chris Jones 1000% has to be a better leader than that. You're not just a player on this team. You are a leader on this team. You're one of the top three players on this team. But if we're going to call penalties, can we please call them both ways?
Yeah, for real.
Because I fully believe that, yes, CJ needed – I'm surprised they didn't give him a what's called?
Unsportsmanlike conduct?
Yeah, or
they just called it a personal foul.
What did they just give Josh Allen? What did they give Josh Allen
in his game? Robin Passer?
A taunting. I'm surprised they didn't.
Taunting. Yes.
Yeah, an unsportsmanlike conduct versus just an unnecessary roughness.
Yeah. Like. So that's very. He has to be better, especially if he wants to go out and get paid and get a contract. I will say though, had the offensive scored at least 1 point in the second half, because I'm not going to be mad about my defensive players being fired. Not going to ever be upset about that. But yes, you do definitely have to be better when you're in a 3rd and 26. So let's talk about the defensive line. Willie Gay, who had an amazing game, as an amazing game, playing what, 80%? Not 100% healthy. I actually didn't think he was going to play this game. So it was really great to see him practicing and to come back in. And then when he did, he made a huge impact. Drew Tranquil. All of this without Nick Bolton. Oh my God. Right? Charles Amenihu. Yeah. Like these dudes really balled out this week.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, you guys know Willie Gay. He is having, I know it's a contract year, but he is having a phenomenal season. He had a forced fumble this game. He was one of the leaders in tackles. He is getting tipped passes and making these great plays. Willie Gay is potentially playing like the best linebacker on this team. I know Drew Tranquil is phenomenal and Nick Bolton, hopefully we get him back healthy. He is phenomenal, but Willie Gay is having a season and I still think that he is being underappreciated for sure.
He is. And it's because there's so many guys on this team that are doing great. If you had to say who was the best defensive player and you could only pick one right now, who would you say?
Like after this game or just total?
McDuffie.
Whole season, Trent, for sure.
Probably say McDuffie, right?
Right. Like, if you had to pick one guy who has just been outstanding, lights out, game in, game out, and it's been a lot of them. I mean.
Well, and another underrated guy is Mike Dana right now. I think he's not getting the love that he deserves, too. So.
And that's only because there's so many standout guys right now on this team. Yeah. Everybody every week is bringing it.
Yeah.
We are
so unbelievably lucky to have the defense that we have. And they just play so well together as a unit. Like you can tell just their vibe, the way they connect. You can tell like even on that really special play that the three of those guys had, Mike Edwards had that trust in Brian Cook. Like, not everyone's going to do that, but Mike Edwards knew he could trust him. He knew he was getting wrapped up. He's like, I can't score, but you can.
And it's incredibly unselfish.
Yeah, it's unselfish. And he knew, he trusted him.
Absolutely. And that's what it's something
about. Our offense is lacking that.
Why do you think? So if Travis Kelce could come in on a defensive play, I wouldn't be opposed to somebody coming in as a tight end role. But no, I will say that's the one great thing about them. Yes, they have that trust in each other. They have that confidence in each other. And I don't know what is going on in that defensive unit, that room, but they have some type of energy and fire. And I think the biggest thing for us is we've been wanting to see takeaways. Not only is this defense getting the takeaways, but they'll put points on the board. And this is the week that they did it. They went out there and put six on the board. So,
well, and if you remember last season, I know Spags and Justin Reed, they especially were talking about when you start getting these takeaways, they become almost like this obsession. And you start, they start building and building and building, and they just start coming because that's, you're just used to making those plays now. You have that confidence. And I will say, the big difference about our offense and our defense right now, I feel like our defense, they are out there playing for Emma, shush. Sorry. Hold on one second.
I will say we did have three sacks this game too, on top of all of that. So
we've been making multiple sacks every game.
It's multiple sacks. So not only are they getting the takeaways, they're batting the ball down, they're getting this pressure, they're actually scoring in the end zone. We have three sacks too. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, sorry. My children are tired. It's wonderful. But what I'm saying is our defense is out there and they are just playing for each other. The chemistry is there. It just feels like they are a brotherhood. And I feel like when you watch our offense, I'm not feeling that chemistry. I'm not feeling that connection. And I'm not saying it's trust issues. It just feels like the camaraderie isn't quite there. And I am going to use my Sporting KC. My Sporting KC guys as an example here. Okay. So during the season, Sporting KC, the first 10 games, they didn't win a single game. Okay. Right. Now we are in this conference semifinals in the playoffs. It's insane. But the guys went on a players only retreat and they went and they figured stuff out and they came back after that retreat, which is kind of like the bye, like the international break. They came back from that and they had figured out a lot of their problems. Their camaraderie seemed like it was there. The chemistry had been built better. And I almost feel like that's what our guys should be doing over this bye week. I'm not saying they should all go on some big retreat, but I feel like really need to be doing something together to build that chemistry on the offense, because there is a disconnect there and we can feel it. We can see it and it's taking off the field and it's going onto the field and we're seeing that.
Like, so go play COD or something. Go play Spider-Man.
Go play like something. Halo or Call of Duty. I don't know.
At this point, I don't care. Face it.
Go do something that's going to improve your communication.
Last season, Patrick and Travis made it such a point to like go play Call of Duty or whatever it was.
Yeah, and Juju and McCole and all of them. Yeah.
All of them. And Marquez. And they were all doing that every week. And we're just not seeing that type of bond. But we've spent so much time on this offense, this podcast, and we can go into it more next week too. But I just think we need to see that bond back. They had it last season where they were playing for each other. Right now, it just doesn't feel that way, or it just feels disconnected. And I just hope they can get back to it. And I hope they all do some soul searching this off week and figure out what it is they're missing, because it's there. We've seen it. And they can win us.
And maybe that's it. Maybe Andy Reid needs to really unleash, and they probably need to get two or three games where they're scoring 30, 37, 41. Like, they
– I the Bears really, and the Chargers where we put up big points, but that was it.
He's holding them back from, like, really having that confidence, and I really feel like they don't have the confidence that they normally have, because usually they're, like, dogging people by now.
But it's like, when do we start holding them accountable? Because every week it's the same thing we keep hearing, where it's Andy Reid and his presser saying, yeah, I know, we should be better than this. We know, we'll get it figured out. Patrick, oh, yeah, we'll get it figured out. Even Kelce in his podcast last week, he sounded so pissed off.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to have, like, the game of his life, and then he's held to 14 yards. And I'm like, I know that's not really your complete fault, but, like, there's just something that's, like, not –
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know either.
Our players of the game, because I know we're already at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, no, I wasn't even going to get into NFC North because I don't even care at this point. But yeah,
we got next week.
We'll talk about next week. Do we have a full hour worth of content to talk about for a bye week? Of course we do.
So why wouldn't we?
Especially after next week, we'll see what happens in these next week.
This is a really good week of football. So if you haven't looked, go look at the slate.
Although the primetime games are
I'm so glad for this game. Who's won?
Repeat that one more time. My ice made a loud noise and I couldn't hear.
Who's your player of the game for this game? Choose one.
I chose Willie Gay. I think while there's so many I could have chosen, and I know you guys chose some great ones, Willie Gay is playing through an injury. He stepped up when Nick Bolton couldn't be there. He played phenomenal, had a forced fumble, and just really helps. I mean, gosh, I have so many positive things to say about him, but I'll leave it at that. I was incredibly impressed.
This game was different without Willie Gay.
Oh yeah. He was felt out there for sure. Yeah. He was impactful. So
yeah.
Good job, Willie.
Yes. Good job. My guys, good old Trent McDuffie. I mean, how could not be? He had a season high, 10 total tackles, 7 solo and 3 combined. Plus a forced fumble. He's also leading cornerbacks in forced fumbles of the season with 4 total. The next guy is at 3. So Trent McDuffie, not only is he just like a game wrecker, keeping up with Tyreek Hill, keeping up with Jaylen Waddle, keeping up with their wide receivers. He is just all over the ball on every single play. I mean, he is so impressive to watch. He makes a forced fumble, leads into the best play of the game for sure, where he makes the forced fumble. Mike Edwards recovers the fumble. Mike Edwards gets looped up. Mike Edwards tosses it. You know, I mean, it's just the incredible chemistry they're playing with, like we've been saying, is just, it's so much fun to watch. But Trent McDuffie, he's just all over. He had a sack. Well, not really a sack, but he kind of forced Tua into a sack towards the end of the game. And then Tershawn Wharton ended up finishing it off and got the big sack. But wherever you put Trent McDuffie, he's going to make a play. And he's so much fun to watch. Like, he better be all pro this season because he's so good.
The fact that when you listen to different like sports radio and ESPN and Fox Sports and all these things and you hear them saying Trent McDuffie, that is how you know that, A, they're talking about how great the Chiefs defense is, one. But you don't just hear Chris Jones. You hear L'Jarius Sneed. You hear Trent McDuffie. You hear Willie Gay. You're hearing a lot of these other key pieces on this defense that are coming in and helping out. So my player of the game is Mike Edwards. I've been just very high on him for a really long time. I actually called it in our pregame space that Mike Edwards is going to have a really good game. And I talked about it on our podcast last week. So to see him kind of like Lexi just explained, you two explained with what that play involved with all three of those impact players who just had the awareness, they had the grit, they had the grind, they had the hustle, they went after it. Mike Edwards is a dude, and I would love to be able to figure out a way to get him back on this team next year, especially because we're not spending a lot of money on him.
I know.
Well, and we probably won't be signing Chris Jones, if I'm being honest.
If we're not signing Chris Jones, make sure everybody else stays.
Right.
If Chris Jones doesn't come back, cool. Keep
bring Drew back as well. Bring Drew back.
I want everybody back. And Chris Jones, I love you, but
every single person has to come back if we don't find a way to. And that's literally a whole 30-minute conversation.
So yeah. I want to bring up one thing real quick.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
It's totally off topic, but I meant to talk about this earlier, and I haven't. I think our special teams is, once again, a big problem.
Yeah.
Big problem.
What part of it?
First of all, someone needs to tell McColl to stop fielding the ball from 5 to 5 to 10.
Start there. Get him off of punt returns. Start there.
Like,
he doesn't need to do it.
No, like, what's going on? Like, let the ball bounce. Like, please. And I feel like we're not giving our offense good starting position. I feel like that's been a big problem too. They've been getting really bad starting position with penalties and whatnot against special teams, and we got to clean that up. That's not helping our offense either. So
unbelievable.
I know. I'm with this guy. It's like, just don't put anyone back there. Let the ball just get punted and end where it ends, because it's not going to be any different than what it is now.
Because so me and Lexi actually talked about this on the pod last week, and I'm going to go quick because I know you got to, like, your kids are probably cooking you dinner.
Oh, no, they're fighting. So, you know.
We're good. We spoke about this on the podcast last week, and I was like, it feels like Nicole is in like a, I have to prove myself moment. You don't have to. If we need you to come here and do your job, you don't have to overthink. You don't have to overcompensate. Literally stand back there, let the ball go over your head. Literally fair catch it every single time. That is
Either don't touch it or catch it.
Like, we understand that things went really bad in New York, New Jersey, wherever, but you're back in Kansas City. We could have went out and got anybody else, but we decided to go back and get you, Nicole Hartman. So come here, do your job, figure out a way to get reps on the field in game, and then that's it. Like, I don't want to see him ever attempting to get the ball again and then trying to run and only making it to the set. I don't want to see that anymore.
And he keeps going backwards. I'm like, who are you? Who are you? Are you DeMarcus Robinson? Is that what you're doing right now? Please stop it.
That's not who you are, and we don't like that. So stop.
Stop it.
Especially if you're on this team next year, you're not under a contract, my friend. Literally, be you, play your game. Don't overthink.
I feel like he's gonna have a reflection moment over these next 2 weeks of like, okay, Nicole, for us. I'm saying, I feel like he's gonna, like,
he's watching the pod and he's understanding.
Yeah, I feel like he's gonna be like, okay, I don't need to do that. It's not making him look any good. So why would you keep doing that? So
no, he just needs to stop it right now.
They need prayer.
Nicole, I love you. So this is love.
We love you, Nicole, but it's
stop
just,
it.
We critique everybody. It's because we love you. If we didn't care, we wouldn't say.
We wouldn't talk about you. We'd just say, eh.
Right. Like, and you can block all of us if you hate the criticism.
Like Blake Bell. I don't talk about him because, eh.
Why are you even on a thing? I don't even want to talk about Blake ever.
But hey, his wife Lindsay is living it up with Brittany Mahomes and Taylor.
So cool. I mean, congrats. This is his last season on this team.
Well, yeah.
Well, we already brought him back once. Ian, dying.
I do want to make it very, very known that you better go get a tight end and a half next year.
And a half, especially that half one.
Yeah. I also want to say, I feel like Bill is our new, like, he's our new, like,
scapegoat.
Marcus or like a Garrett Dieter, but on the tight end side, and we just keep him because
George,
I think
Dieter. That's not his name either. Greg.
Garrett Dieter.
That's his name. I always call him Dieter.
Yeah.
My whole life.
His first name is Garrett. And even though he didn't really start for us, I feel like Blake Bell is kind of filling that role of like Mahomes' best friend on the team. But
he's very opinionated on social media. So he gets
Garrett is or Blake Bell?
Garrett. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's funny on social media.
Very opinionated.
He's very funny.
For someone that didn't start.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
That's a mess. Yes, so it's the bye week. Yes, he is. It's the bye week. We have no score predictions or anything this week, which is amazing.
Amazing.
Get into the sponsors. There are a few fun games next week. The ones I'm looking
at. You just said don't talk about them.
The ones that are going into this week coming up.
You can just list them. We can just list them.
I just want to list the ones I want to watch. But stop whispering behind my back. I can see you. Stop behind my back, okay?
I just, you guys are screaming. It's my children, and I apologize in advance.
It's okay. Lexi's yelling at me, so it's fine.
We're all hungry, okay? No,
yeah. I'm snacking on my pretzels if you guys haven't noticed.
I'm annoyed at the primetime games because we have to watch the Panthers versus the Bears on Thursday, which is
Torture. Who did that? It's probably gonna be a great game. It's probably gonna be phenomenal.
The NFL had time to flex this game.
That's the problem.
They did.
We also have the Jets versus the Raiders on Sunday Night Football.
Woo!
Mid. No? And then you have, which actually I think has possibility of being interesting, is Broncos versus Bills on Monday Night Football.
I want Texans versus Bengals because I see an upset.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I was getting there, but that's a noon game.
Sorry, I got excited.
Why is that a noon game? They should have flexed that one. That would have been such a fun
Because play. They probably didn't think the Texans would be hot.
Stroud is.
Yeah, you know they are.
You know it's balling. They weren't expecting that at all.
You know they're hot right now, but you could have flexed them.
Yeah, yeah. Stroud is just 5 touchdowns. He set rookie records. Like, good job, man.
Another bad week of primetime games.
So the primetime is bad, but the noon games are good. We have Texans at Bengals, like you said, Browns at Ravens at noon, 49ers at Jags at noon.
Could be a good game.
Lions at Chargers at 3. So there's some really good noon games in there.
49ers, Jags. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it would be nice.
Browns at Ravens could be good.
The Eagles play.
They're Eagles off. Are on a bye.
Bye week.
Yep.
It would be nice to see
that. Cowboys play the Giants, so, like, that's terrible. Yeah, I mean, there's, like,
Not a good game. No. They need a bounce back from last week anyway.
Yeah, they will. They will. Dak actually had a really good game last week. So
yeah, thanks, Dak.
Ended up losing. But
yeah.
I didn't get to see that game.
I didn't get to see that game. I got nothing. I'm going to enjoy this bye week.
That is
normally it. I'm like, oh, I want Chiefs football. I'm going to enjoy it.
Oh,
me through stress
and
for 9 weeks.
Kyler Murray is coming back this week.
Yes, K1 is back this week.
So
K1 is back this week, which is great. let me look at all the comments because I clicked away because I thought we were going to the sponsor. You have the Jets winning. Okay. Thanks.
Oh, good night. I'm done. Bye.
Yeah, I think the Texans are upsetting the Bengals. I mean,
I can see it happening.
So good that Texas defense, Orlando Brown. Hey, wait to watch
it. I think that's gonna be a great game. I'm actually excited for it. I would love to see them upset the Bengals.
Is Justin Fields back this week?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
know.
We'll see. He put May. Week,
but I don't know.
May, yeah. Asterix.
Same DB, same.
We should do it. Literally. Like
NFL and disgusting frustration.
You start up the letter and then we're all going to just sign.
Don't you think Amazon is ticked about that too? Like all the Amazon Prime Thursday night football games, like it sucks. Like the lineup they get sucks, you guys.
I know.
I'd be really ticked about Amazon paying all that money, and I'm like, you guys are giving me Panthers versus Bears.
Like, this is terrible.
I'm literally like, really?
You had the bottom 3 teams in the league. Like,
no.
Red zone all day. Oh yeah, that's where I'm gonna be at. Kyler won't help. All right. So,
Cardinals are already.
He's already done.
Take 2.
Right now, like, shout out to the sponsor. Ken Seltzer, first Black-owned seltzer brand in the United States. 95% calories a can, made of all fruit, no artificial sugars, very clean and refreshing. And they are really, they're currently cooking up something new for y'all. So I can't wait to see what that is.
Okay.
You can get it at 14 different locations in the Kansas City area. My favorite place to go get it is Border Brewery down in the Crossroads. It's delicious. And I'm just hydrating from Sunday still because Lexi making me take shots at 7:30.
Oh my gosh, you guys are crazy.
This was your idea. Actually, it was all the people in our space that made us do it.
Yeah, we had 100 plus people in there before 8 a.m. So that was
all crazy.
Shout out to all of y'all. We love y'all. We're gonna get out of here. We are back here next Tuesday where we can finally talk about Chiefs versus Eagles, the Super Bowl rematch. Can't wait. Oh, and I do want to say, me and Lexi talked about this last week. If you had to pick a game to win between the Dolphins and the Eagles, the Dolphins game was definitely the game that was the most important game out of the two. We beat them in the Super Bowl.
Well, plus it's AFC, NFC. AFC matters a lot more than NFC right now.
Exactly. But we already beat the Eagles.
I will say the Eagles to me, and we'll dive into this next week for sure. But to me, there's like a team that's kind of playing like we are this year where they win, but they have inconsistencies. And so I actually think kind of like I felt with the Dolphins, it's going to be a great matchup for both teams. I actually
think battle.
I think it's going to be kind of low scoring again. I think it's going to be like in the 20s ish.
But it's at Arrowhead.
Monday night football. The advantage there. I'm really looking forward to our
defense.
I feel like our defense got disrespected in last year's Super Bowl, and I feel like they're going
to 100%
be fired up in this game. So I'm excited. But anyway, we'll dive into that next week.
Let's just hope the field is equal for both teams this time, you guys. Like, that was really controversial.
I'm going to be watching and making sure they don't switch it out every commercial break.
I know. Every commercial they're switching the grass out, so, or the turf, so whatever it was. So anyway, guys, you know me. I'm repping my Sporting. So guys, big deal. Sporting is in the playoffs. I know this is the Chiefs podcast, but I don't care right now. Sporting is in the playoffs. We just eliminated the number one seed, St. Louis, and it was wonderful. Everyone who showed out to the stadium, y'all were amazing. And golly, it was fun. But they also get a bye this week, so I have no Chiefs and no Sporting.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to have to clean, and that really sucks. But
maybe we'll decorate for Christmas.
I already did that. Yeah, so.
I can't
stop that. You will see my house. It is ridiculous.
I have. I do want to say I do have two Christmas trees.
You too.
I'm really.
They're both up, and one is too big for my living room, so it takes up like half of it. So that was my bad, but it's okay. Anyway, and it, Mr. Jeff, it is not just soccer. So blah. Anyway, but yeah, I will say. Sorry, Lindsay.
Chrissy could actually love soccer, maybe more than football, honestly.
Sometimes it was my first love. I do coach like three teams, and, you know, it's fine. I play too, so it's fine. But, you know, whatever. But go Sporting. Keep it up. Go
we
Chiefs. Sports
City winning too, so come on.
Yeah.
I've been yelling on Twitter all week that Kansas City is the best sports town, and I don't care what all these other cities say, but – I just want to say to the people of Kansas City, y'all are amazing. Here's why. Every Super Bowl, every World Series parade, everything we've ever done for our city, we have had 800,000 plus people.
Yeah.
The Chiefs parades were 1 million plus, right? The Texas Rangers just won the World Series that only had 300 plus K people there. That's it.
And it's Dallas.
There's 7.2 million people in the city of Dallas, Arlington, Dallas-Fort Worth, Metroplex. I don't care what you want to call it. Grand Prairie, Arlington. There's 7.2 million people.
And it's warm there. It's warm there. The Chiefs parades happen when it's like 2 degrees outside.
Perfect weather. It was like 75 and sunny, no clouds in the sky, a little bit of breeze too. People just didn't go. So. And they canceled school.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, hashtag paint the wall. My Sporting peeps will get that. Enjoy your bye week. Oh, Lindsay, I'm so sorry. I mean, I'm not, but I am a little bit. Go enjoy your bye week. Have a nice, stress-free, relaxing weekend. And we will pick this back up next week and really get into that Super Bowl rematch against the Philadelphia Eagles. So until next time, your queens have spoken.
Bye. Love y'all.
Like you mean.